He said we would begin at 7, and we'd like to do that. We welcome you to the discussion. We have a good number present. We're glad that you're here. I doubt that I need to tell you that everybody's supposed to behave. I suspect you already know that. No kind of loud demonstrations, no applause, no boos. Just everybody listen to what these two men have to say. Proposition for discussion tonight and tomorrow night concerns the matter of the covering that is talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the first 16 verses. Tonight, the matter will be the scriptures teach that a woman must wear an artificial covering in addition to her long hair while praying or prophesying. Pat Donahue will affirm that, and Mark Bailey will deny it. The arrangement will be that each speaker will have a 20-minute speech. Three 20-minute speeches, alternating the affirmative, then the negative. At the end of the third 20-minute speech, we'll take about a 5-minute break, and then we will pick back up for the rest of the discussion. For the benefit of those of you that are visiting, there are restrooms in the back. As you go into the foyer, on my left is the ladies' room. On the right is the men's room. There are water fountains there for those of you that may need them. Also, here are some books that are free for the taking. It is a discussion on the same subject, written discussion, between Brother Donahue and Brother Bailey. And one to a family, please. They're not enough for everybody to get two or three. We don't want anybody using for coloring books or whatever. But pick up one and use it. Before Brother Donahue comes to the microphone, we want to go to God in prayer. Well, Mike Johnson's visiting with us. We'll ask him to lead us while we pray.
Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you at this time, we're so thankful for this beautiful day. We're thankful for all the many blessings that we enjoy. We're thankful for all the physical things that we enjoy in life. We pray that we'll always view these properly. Those offenses, we're thankful for the many spiritual blessings that we have, for Jesus and his willingness to come and die for our sins that we might have life everlasting, and all the many other ways that we've been so richly blessed. We come before you at this time, Heavenly Father, with sadness from the standpoint that there is a disagreement on thy word. However, we're thankful, Heavenly Father, that there's a willingness to study thy word. These two individuals are willing to make presentations and allow us to be able to listen to the things that they have to say. We understand, Heavenly Father, that we must not only hear but obey thy word. We pray that each one of us here today will have an open mind and will listen closely to the things that are said and try to make a proper application of them. Whatever we find to be the truth, we're willing to not only apply this to our lives, but teach them to other people. You know, at times, Heavenly Father, that we fall short in thy sight. We pray that thou will forgive us of our sins. Help us have a penitent attitude. And when we find that we've done wrong, we'll be willing to change and do better in the future. Be with us always, Heavenly Father, throughout this service at all times.
I'd just say one thing for the benefit of those of you that may not have ever attended a discussion like this. We are very sure, confident, that both these men will conduct themselves as Christians ought to. They're not going to misbehave. If we thought they were, we would not have agreed for their being here. But we would also say that both men believe what they're going to be saying. And they intend to press their points without being ugly. So just because they may have firmness and may state it very pointedly, that simply means that they believe what they're saying and they want us to see the point. Anything else I need to say, Pat? Who's your moderator? You'd like to say anything at this time? Wait till the end. Okay.
That's Alan.
We have an Alan, an Alton, Mark, and I met all of them today. If I don't get them straight, they'll correct. Pat, if you will, come right on to the mic.
You asking me to put one on, Mr. Hutto? What about that? Did we supposed to have a microphone here?
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Yes. Yeah.
Think you might have to
you'll have to
turn it around.
Where do you normally put that?
I just know. I just put it in my belt. You put it wherever you want to put it.
Mark, you need to use this one too, right? The obvious passage to be turning to is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 2 through 16 will cover, if not all of this topic, most of it. Now I'm going to read what I think are the pertinent scriptures out of this section to our issue. We both feel that the covering is necessary today. But we disagree on what that covering is, and so I'm going to look at about 6 or 8 of the passages in this section that I think are critical to this discussion. And if there's some passages I don't read that Mark feels need to be read, I'm sure he will do so. Again in verse 4, 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "Every man, praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man." Now skip down to verse 13. "Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering." Let me say, you'll see in verses 5 through 7, the word covering, or covered, a form of that. You'll see it also in verse 13. You'll see it in the English in verse 10. Now the question is, when you also see the English in verse 15, the question is the covering mentioned in verses 5 and 6 the same as the covering in verse 15? We both agree that the covering mentioned in verse 15 is the long hair. Now the question for tonight and tomorrow night is the covering of verse 5, for example, the same as verse 15 or different? Now what my obligation is to try to prove they're different tonight. Tomorrow night, Mark will try to prove that they're the same. If they're different, if the covering of verses 5 and 6 is different than the hair, then obviously verses 5 and 6 is the artificial covering, the veil, and a woman must wear it when she prays or prophesies. Before I get started, I want to note that even though the words in the King James are similar, the word covered, there are different Greek words. The Greek word in verses 5, twice in verse 6, and verse 7 and verse 13, when you see the English word covered or a form of that there, it's a form of the Greek word katakalupto. It's either katakalupto or it has katakalupto with a prefix on it. When you see uncovered, it's that way. So sometimes in discussion, I might say the katakalupto covering. That's just me. That's a short way for me to say the covering of verses 5 and 6 and 13 and 7. Now, the word that's translated covering in verse 15 is not katakalupto. It's not a form of that. It's parabolion in the Greek. And I might say the parabolion covering. I mean, that's a short way for me to say the covering of verse 15. That's obviously the long hair. So I want to point that out to you for two reasons. One is just so you'll know that there are two Greek words involved. Two Greek words involved. The katakalupto covering, I think, is the artificial veil. The parabolion covering, verse 15, I believe is the long hair. And that's what I'm going to try to prove. So I want you to know there's a different Greek word, and I want you to know some of the terminology I might use, because I might say katakalupto covering. I mean the covering of verses 5 and 6. If I say the parabolion covering, I can't pronounce the word, I mean the covering of verse 15, the long hair covering. Okay, I might say that in the discussion. But I'm going to be trying to prove that those two coverings are different. Okay, Brent? The first chart to show that they're different is to show that the covering in verse 5 is done for an occasion. Notice 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, it says, "Every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head." Now, the The same kind of phraseology, prayeth or prophesied, is mentioned in verse 4 with relation to the covering as the man wears it. I want to give you a couple of examples of what I'm talking about. If you'll turn to Esther, Esther chapter 6, verse 12, I believe it is. Here's what I'm saying. The covering of verse 15, the long hair, is a permanent covering. You can't just take that on or put that on and take it off whenever you pray or prophesy. But the covering in verse 5 is clearly not the same as that. It's not that way. It is something that you can put on when you pray and take off when you're not praying. Because it says, Paul says, that this covering is necessary when you pray or prophesy. And that's what verse 5 says, when you pray or prophesy. Now look at Esther chapter 6, verse 12. Most of you remember the story of Haman and Mordecai. After Haman did not get his way, obviously he was upset about that. Verse 12 says, and Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house mourning and having his head covered. Now, we all know, I think we all agree, what kind of covering that is. Does anybody here think that's hair? Or do we all know that that's an artificial covering? How do you know that? You know how I know it, and I believe it's the way you know it, because he put that covering on for the time of mourning. You can see from the verse that the covering was put on while he mourned, for an occasion. And that shows that it's not a permanent covering like the long hair. You cannot put the long hair on while you're mourning, while you're crying, while you're sorrowful, and take it off when you're not mourning. That's the same principle. You see, this is an artificial covering because it was done for an occasion. It's the same way with 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. That one's done for an occasion also. Also, another example in Genesis chapter 38, verses 14 and 15, talking about is it Taman? And she put her widow's garments off of her, what? And covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in the open place, which is the way by Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be a prostitute, basically, because she had covered her face. Notice it says that she covered herself with a veil and she covered her face. Now, really, how do you know that's an artificial covering? Both Mark and I agree that's an artificial covering, and I think you do too. How do you know that? Well, somebody might say, well, because it says she covered herself with a veil. It tells. Well, I think that's an indication it's an artificial covering too. But remember, I want to tell you something about Mark. When he sees the word veil, he doesn't necessarily think artificial covering. You may remember that in the American Standard Version, in verses 5 and 6 and so forth, when it mentions the catacalupto covering, it's translated veil in the American Standard. In the King James cover, in the American Standard, it's translated veil. Mark doesn't think that necessarily means an artificial covering because you could veil with a hair, and I guess you could. But notice, so Mark doesn't understand that this is an artificial covering by just because it says a veil, because hair could veil or cover someone's head. But how does he know? Well, I'll tell you how I know. It's because it was done for an occasion. She put on her covering, she covered her face, she covered herself with a veil, she wrapped herself. She didn't have this covering all the time, she did it for an occasion. Now, apply the same reasoning back to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. This covering is done for an occasion. It cannot be the long hair because the long hair cannot be done just for an occasion. Next chart, Brent. Mr. Ethel, let me know how I go on my time. Tommy. Now, I want to show you a quote from a tract that Mark wrote on this. And he basically wrote a tract saying, teaching that the long hair was the only covering taught in 1 Corinthians 11, similar to what he'll be affirming tomorrow night. And I want you to notice that he, in my opinion, agrees with this very same reasoning concerning the covering of verse 4, where it talks about the man being covered. Notice what he says about the covering of verse 4. Now, in verse 4, it talks about a man should be uncovered when he prays or prophesies. Notice what he says about it. He says, however, regardless if this has reference to worship only, or all times while praying or prophesying, we must still be conscious of the fact that a specific time is referred to. In short, if man is praying or prophesying, he cannot be covered. To violate this would be an act of dishonoring Christ. However, if he is not praying or prophesying, he can be covered, since he would be able to uncover himself before he enters into the specific acts of praying or prophesying. Now, you can take that for the way you want to. You judge in yourselves. It looks like to me that Mark is saying, basically, that he can tell that the covering of verse 4 is put onable and take offable because it mentions a specific time that the man is to be uncovered, praying or prophesying. Mark is saying that the fact that a man is required to be uncovered when he is praying or prophesying proves that he can be covered when he is not praying or prophesying. I agree with that. Now, why wouldn't the same reasoning, since you have the same phrase in verse 5, why wouldn't the same reasoning prove that since a woman is to be covered when she prays or prophesies, then it would be right for her to be uncovered when she is not praying or prophesying. In other words, the covering of verse 4 is temporary, and I believe Mark is saying he knows that because it mentions a specific time when the man is to be uncovered with his covering. Verse 5 has the same phrase, praying or prophesying, telling the woman to be covered then. Why can we not tell that it's a temporary covering also? By the same reasoning. Mark's reasoning in this tract is right. The passage teaches a temporary covering and therefore cannot be the long hair, since the long hair is permanent. Next chart, Rand. Now, what if Mark was wrong about this? What if Mark is wrong and in verse 4 the phrase praying or prophesying does not prove that this covering that the man is supposed to not have when he's praying or prophesying? What if he's wrong and it does not prove that it's a temporary covering? Well, I'll show you the consequences of that. Mark believes that the covering of verse 4 for the man includes an artificial covering. And why does he do that? Because if it did not include an artificial covering, if it was only talking about the hair, then there would be no verse in the Bible that says that it'd be wrong for a man to have a hat on when he prays. But Mark believes it's wrong for a man to have a hat on when he prays. Mark believes that verse 4 includes an artificial covering. Includes that. I don't think he thinks that's the only thing it's talking about, but it includes that. Now, what if Mark is wrong, or what if I am wrong, about this phrase praying or prophesying, proving that the covering is temporary? You know what that would mean according to Mark's position? Since the covering of verse 4 includes a hat, if it's not temporary, if praying or prophesying does not prove it's a temporary condition, that would mean that a man cannot wear a hat at any time. If you can look at verse 4, 1 Corinthians 11, and see that it's saying that a man is not to wear a hat when he prays, if you don't believe that the fact that it says when he prays proves that it's a temporary covering, then since it is talking about a hat, it would have to be a permanent covering, and that would mean a man could never wear a hat. Even when he went out to the garden to work, he could not wear a hat. That's the consequences of this position if the phrase praying or prophesying does not indicate a temporary covering. If it doesn't indicate it for verse 4, then you can't wear a hat at any time then. If it does indicate it, well, you have the same phrase in verse 5, use the same reasoning to prove that the covering of verse 5 is temporary. Next chart, Brent. I want to discuss this. It's basically the same principle, but a little bit different. I want to show you that the time regulation being different shows that these two coverings are different. The time regulation for verse 15 is that a woman should be covered all the time with her long hair. It's a permanent thing. But in verse 5, it says that she's to be covered 9 minutes. She's to be covered when she prays or prophesies. I believe that the time regulations being different show that it's two different coverings involved. Let me illustrate that. In Leviticus 16, verses 17 and 34, and also Hebrews 9, 7 and 8, I won't read this because I know you're familiar with it. The Bible shows you have something called the tabernacle of the congregation. The Bible, and then the most holy place, or the holy place. The high priest went into the most holy place one time a year. The Bible shows that some of the other priests could go into the tabernacle of the congregation, not the most holy place, any time during the year except once, and that's when that high priest was in the most holy place. But those same priests, I'm talking about any priest that's not a high priest, could never go into the most holy place. You see, the time regulation is different. Here's the verse. It says, "And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place." Somebody might think that the tabernacle of the congregation and the holy place are the same thing. But one way, maybe not the only way, one way I know they're different is because the time regulation is different. The regular priest could never go into the holy place, but he could go into the tabernacle of the congregation any time except once. The fact that there's a different time regulation shows that those two places are different. I've got to believe that you agree with that. Let me give you another illustration. I've got a little girl that's 2 and a half. Leah's allowed to play out front all the time, but we also tell her, you're allowed to play in the pasture when mommy and daddy are with you. Do you see that? Let me say those two sentences again. Leah, you're allowed to play out front all the time. Leah, you're allowed to play in the pasture when mommy and daddy are with you. Can you tell that the pasture and out front are two different places? I can, because the time regulation is different. One time, it's okay for Leah to play there anytime. One, though, it's only okay for her to play there when mommy and daddy are with her. Do you see the point? The time regulation is different. And that's the same thing as 1 Corinthians 11, 5, and 15. In verse 5, the woman is required to be covered when she prays or prophesies. There's no doubting that. Verse 15, she's required to have that covering all the time. The fact that there's two different time regulations shows, beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's two different coverings. Next chart, Brent. Now I want to show you a chart entitled Temporary versus Permanent. The difference between the covering of 1 Corinthians 11, 5 and the covering of 1 Corinthians 11, 15 is illustrated by the following two questions about a woman named Betty who prays asking for blessings in the morning and prays again asking for blessings in the evening. Okay? We're going to look at two sentences about this woman, Betty, who's going to pray a couple of times. And I believe when you see these two sentences, you'll see the difference in the covering in verse 5 and verse 15. One's temporary, one's permanent. Would it be possible for Betty to be covered with an artificial veil during her morning prayer ceased to be covered with this artificial veil during the afternoon she worked around the house, and to be covered with this artificial veil again during her evening prayer. Would that be possible? The answer is yes. And that fits 1 Corinthians 11:5. That's exactly what 1 Corinthians 11:5 requires her to do, is to have that veil when she prays. Not when she works around the house, but when she prays. Notice this question. Would it be possible for Betty to be covered with her long hair, reference 1 Corinthians 11:15, during her morning prayer, cease to be covered with her long hair during the afternoon as she worked around the house, and be covered with the long hair again during her evening prayer? That is totally impossible. It would be impossible for a woman to be covered with the long hair while she prays in the morning, not be covered with it in the afternoon, and then be covered with it again when she prays in the evening. That's impossible. 1 Corinthians 11:5 is talking about a covering where this is possible, because it says that she is required to have it when she prays and when she prophesies. Next chart. Now, if you didn't understand everything I've said before, I think this chart will make it clear. Praying or prophesying, it just doesn't make any sense. Here's what I'm saying. If you try to fit the hair, the long hair, into verse 5, it won't make any sense. And you'll see that in a minute. Do the following sentences make sense? Ethel, be sure and wear a red dress while at the Alabama football game tomorrow. Does that make sense? Yes, it does. Ethel, be sure and be skinny while at the Alabama football game tomorrow. Does that make any sense? It doesn't, does it? She can't be skinny just for the Alabama football game. Now, maybe she could go on a diet in 2 or 3 months, she could get skinny. But relative to the time period of the Alabama football game, it would be impossible for her just to be skinny just for the Alabama football game. I think anybody can see that that sentence doesn't make any sense. If somebody said that to you, wouldn't you go, what? That didn't make any sense. It's easy to see. Notice this. Bobby, be sure and be good while at Granddaddy's house on Saturday. Yes, that makes sense. Bobby, be sure and be physically tall while at Granddaddy's house on Saturday. Does that make any sense? It doesn't make any sense, does it? Just ask yourself. Be open and honest. Does this sentence make any sense? Bobby, be sure and be physically tall while you're at Granddaddy's house on Saturday. It doesn't make any sense. Karen, be sure and be covered with a hood while outside riding your bike today. Does that make sense? It sure does. Karen, be sure and have long hair while outside riding your bike today. Doesn't make any sense, does it? She can't just put on her long hair while riding the bike and take it off later, can she? Does not make any sense. Lucy, be sure and be covered with a veil while praying. Makes sense, does it? That's because it perfectly matches 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. Lucy, be sure and have long hair while praying. We're trying to put the long hair in verse 5. Does it make any sense? It doesn't, does it? See, the ones over here, they're checking, no, don't make any sense. The ones here do. It doesn't make any sense to command a person to be skinny while at the Alabama football game, to be tall while at Granddaddy's house, to have long hair while riding your bike, or to have long hair while praying. That just doesn't make any sense. Now, lower it again, Brent. I asked Mark basically a question before we started. And the question was, you mark on this same chart, basically, which ones make sense? Now, you know what he did? He marked every one of them yes, that they all made sense. Now, what is he saying when he marked all of them yes? He's saying that if this one, and this one don't make any sense, then he recognizes the fact that it would prove my position. So he had to answer yes, because if he recognized if he answered no like I have it, that would prove my position. He answered yes because he knew that if he answered no, it would prove my position. Now, you answer the question for yourself. What he is saying is that if you answer no on these, then you'll have to agree with my position. Now, you honestly answer the question. Does it make any sense for Bobby to be good while at Grand... I mean, I got the wrong one. Bobby to be physically tall while at Granddaddy's house? Does that make any sense? He says it does, because he knew he had to say that or my position would be proven. You answer for yourself. I believe that's easy to see. That does not make any sense. Verse 5 does not make any sense if you put the long hair in there. It doesn't make any sense to say that a woman has to have long hair while she prays or prophesies. It doesn't make any sense at all. It's not a temporary covering. The long hair is permanent. All right, Brent, next chart. Brent, skip a couple here and go to the first one on the Greek. That would be number 10. I want to talk about, before I lose my time, about the Greek here. I've already mentioned that there are two different Greek words here, okay? Now, I really don't think... Well, let me say this. Here's katakaluto in verse 5. Here's katakaluto in verse 6. Katakaluto in verse 6. Katakaluto in verse 7. Katakaluto in verse 13, or a form of it. And then you have parabiolion in verse 15. All of these words are different. I mean, the same Greek word. Until you get down to verse 15, it's a different Greek word for cover. Okay, I just wanted to show you that from interlinear. Brent, next chart. That would be number 11. Now, I want you to tell you something about these different Greek words. I want you to know that it's a different Greek word. I'm not saying that the fact that two different Greek words are used proves that the two coverings are in view. I don't believe that proves that, because two different Greek words could refer to the same thing. I'm not even saying that if the same word had been used, that would prove that only one covering is in view. That wouldn't prove that either. But I am saying that the fact that two different Greek words are used is significant. Not that it proves it, but it's significant. For example, if you look at Galatians 6, verses 2 and 5, turn over there very quickly. Paul said in Galatians 6, verses 2 and 5, he says, "Bear ye one another's burdens." Verse 5, he says, "But every man shall bear his own burden." On the surface, it looks like a contradiction. How do we explain that that's not a contradiction? We point out it's two different Greek words. Now, these Greek words, if you look them up in dictionaries, Bible dictionaries, have very similar meanings. But it's significant to know that they're two different Greek words. That helps us to understand it's not a contradiction. So my question is, why did Paul use one Greek word in verses 5, 6, 6, 7, and 13, and then suddenly switch to a different Greek word in verse 15? Do you suppose it might have been because the two coverings in view are different? Why did he switch? Thank you very much.
Brother Donahue, brethren moderators, brethren and sisters in Jesus Christ, I'm happy to stand before you tonight in denial of this proposition which my good brother Pat Donahue has attempted to affirm but yet was unable to do so. Before noticing the things that Brother Donahue has already said, I would like for you as an audience to understand that just as Brother Hutto has already stated, that Brother Donahue and I are not enemies. We are brethren in Jesus Christ. Now, there will be times, because we do have differences of views or different ideas upon this particular subject, that Brother Donahue and I will stress each other at times. Sometimes we may stress each other very, very hard. But we do this for one reason, and that is simply for emphasis. Now, there are many things that Brother Donahue and I agree upon. He has debated these things on a number of occasions. As a matter of fact, I had the privilege in the state of North Carolina to go and to hear him in such a discussion, very similar to this discussion, except on the subject of baptism. In that particular speech, we find that Brother Donahue did a wonderful job of taking the Bible and proving his proposition. However, as you have just witnessed, he was not able to affirm this practice by the Scriptures. This is not because he is a poor debater. It is not because he is an inexperienced debater, for certainly he is not. He has debated he is a very experienced debater, for he has had a number of debates. Therefore, his problem tonight is not in the inability to debate a biblical proposition. His problem tonight is that he is now attempting to debate something or to uphold something by the Scriptures that is not even found in the Scriptures. Pat's dilemma is in the wording of his proposition. His proposition clearly states, the Scriptures teach that a woman must wear an artificial covering in addition to long hair while praying or prophesying. Notice that he is not to be affirming that I believe that a woman must wear an artificial covering. He is not affirming that that I think that a woman must wear an artificial covering. And before it's over with, you'll be hearing this word probably about something being safer. But I want you to understand that he is not to be affirming that it is safer to do that as well. However, it is impossible for Brother Donahue to show that the Scriptures teach that a woman must wear an artificial covering. And the reason it is so impossible is simply because the Scriptures does not teach that. We know this, and so do I, and so does Brother Donahue. I would like to see chart number... Well, first of all, let's just go to his question. The way I know that Brother Donahue does not believe that the Scriptures teaches an artificial covering is simply because of the answer to my very first question. I asked Brother Donahue five written questions before this discussion took place. Number one, I said, does Paul specifically state in 1 Corinthians 11 that he has reference to an artificial covering when he uses the word covered, uncovered, not covered, and covering in verses 5, 6, 13, and 15? If yes, please tell where and give his statement. His answer was no. Now keep in mind, my question to him, after all, he is standing up here to affirm the Scriptures teach an artificial covering, and he says, no, the Scriptures does not specifically state the word artificial. Now that may be a big surprise to a number of you, because as I look over this audience, I see a number that's wearing an artificial covering. Does it surprise you that Brother Donahue would stand up here to affirm this, but yet say the Scriptures does not specifically state it? Now, before Brother Donahue says that, I'm going to say it, and that is, sometimes the Scriptures might not have to specifically state something for it to be true. The reason of that is because it could be defined that way. So my second question to Brother Donahue was this: does any Greek lexicon actually use the word artificial in the definition of the word covered, uncovered, not covered, and covered in 1 Corinthians 11, 5, 6, 13, and 15? Again, he says, I haven't found one. Then he goes on in parentheses and says, there are plenty that I have not seen. Well, Brother Donahue, I feel certain, that if you could find one to agree with you, you would have already proven it. You have already gone to that one. But the fact is, and the audience needs to understand, the Scriptures does not specifically state the word artificial, and that these terms that are found in 1 Corinthians 11, that not one of these is actually defined as artificial. Isn't that something? To get up here and to stand and to say, this is what I believe, this is what I practice, this is what I teach, and this is what the Bible, what the Scriptures affirms. But the fact is, he says it does not affirm that. Now I'd like to go to chart number 7, please. Brother Donahue, this is chart number 7. If you will, please write it down, because I'm sure that you're going to be seeing it a number of times. Here we have, and you can't see it up at the top, but this is titled Propositions Challenge. I'm going to challenge you this evening to produce something. Now my particular view tonight is that hair is given for a covering. Tomorrow evening, I will be affirming that. However, Balaam's position is hair is given for a covering. My proof of that is given from 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 15, where it says her hair is given for a covering. Now, Brother Donahue and I both believe that. After all, how can anyone deny that hair is given for a covering when the Scripture says it is? Now, keep in mind that in the first question that I asked him about this idea of artificial. And he said that there is no that the word artificial is not specifically found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Well, Brother Donahue, my challenge to you, if you will, produce one Bible verse to uphold your proposition. You have stated and you are saying that the Scriptures teach an artificial covering. Therefore, I'm asking you for one verse that states the word artificial. I challenge you to do that, Brother Donahue, and this is circle number one, and if you would, please get up here and give us one Bible verse that says the word artificial, or that would specifically state that. If you cannot find that, at least find us a Greek lexicon or a dictionary that defines the word covered, uncovered, not covered, or covering as the word artificial. Now, certainly you can do that, and we'll just have that called chart or circle number two. Now, Brother Donahue, this is chart number 7. Please call it up and respond to this. Give us one Bible verse to show the word artificial, and if you cannot, find one lexicon that defines these words as artificial. If the Scriptures teaches an artificial covering, then certainly you should be able to do at least one of these things. Let's go now to chart 1A. Brother Donahue, one thing that you failed to do, and I don't know if you accidentally did it or not, and that is to define your proposition. Your proposition has a lot of problems with it, and therefore you need to explain these things to us. Your proposition reads, the scriptures teach that a woman must wear an artificial covering in addition to her long hair while praying or prophesying. My question to you, number one, is what do you mean by the scriptures teach? Now, I know what I believe, what I mean by the scriptures teach, but I need to know what you mean. After all, you said the scriptures are in 1 Corinthians 11 that these terms are not specifically found to mean artificial, but yet you stand up here and say the scriptures teaches an artificial covering. How does the scriptures teach an artificial covering if it does not state it, or at least if something there is not defined as such? Number two, what do you mean by this word artificial? What makes it artificial, Brother Donahue? Is it the size, the shape, the material? Tell us, if you will, what makes it artificial. You know, Brother Donahue, when you was in your speech, you made the reference to the fact that you and I both believe that long hair is given for a covering. Not that long hair is given for an artificial covering, not that long hair really is even given for a permanent covering. Long hair is a covering. But yet, dealing with this, you refer to an artificial covering. What makes it artificial? Why refer to it as artificial? Let me ask you this, too, because I'm very curious. How small can this artificial covering be and still satisfy or qualify for the covering that you contend for? Number three, does the parenthetical expression, in addition to long hair, apply to the following words while praying or prophesying? And therefore teach that a woman is required to wear long hair while praying or prophesying. If not, why not? Because I'm certain that will come up before this discussion is over. Number four, does the parenthetical expression, in addition to long hair, apply to the preceding words? That is, the scriptures teach. If you want to say that this parenthesis sets these words aside, then I want to know, does it set it aside for the following words or as well as for the previous words? In other words, does the scriptures teach that long hair is given for a covering? Number five, concerning this word praying or prophesying, and you made reference to it a number of times in your speech, I want you to answer for us. Does this mean while woman is personally praying or prophesying, or does it refer to any time that she is in the presence of another? Is it limited only to her praying or prophesying, or is she to be covered when she's in the presence of another praying or prophesying? Secondly, does the term praying refer only to audible praying, or does it also include silent praying? And thirdly, does prophesying refer only to public prophesying or also to private prophesying? For an example, if a Christian lady is desiring to have a Bible study with someone that lives next door to her, and it's just the two of them, is she to wear a covering, artificial covering, at that time? How about if she is going to be teaching her children the way of God more perfectly? Would it be necessary for her to be covered with your artificial covering at that time? If she is teaching her children the ways of God, if she is going to teach them about the glories of heaven, if she is going to teach them about the church and about the things that she must do in order to they must do in order to please God, what would it be necessary for her to wear this covering at that time, public or private or both? I would appreciate it if you would give an answer, please, to these things. Okay, you can take that one down. That's chart 1A, Pat. If you would, please call for that one and answer these questions for us. Brother Donahue stands up here and he gives a few different, I suppose you'll call, arguments. But really, I don't know if they're arguments to prove his proposition. After all, he makes an argument, he spends a lot of time on it, and then he turns right around and say, but, you know, that really doesn't prove it. Well, Brother Donahue, your problem is that you're supposed to be standing up here to prove your proposition, not to make arguments and turn right around and say that it does not prove it. Well, concerning this idea of different words, I would like to see chart number 28, please. You know, Brother Donahue spent quite some time talking about the fact that there are different words used in 1 Corinthians 11, and certainly they are. I will not deny that. In other words, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 5, 6, 13, and 15, these first three verses that I named, first of all, you do find a form of this word katakalupto. Now, in verse 15, you find a noun, parabolaion. And his idea is that they cannot be the same. It's not the same covering because they're two different things. However, I think it is very important that we understand that this really would prove nothing, because in our written discussion, and these are the books that Brother Huttoe has already mentioned that you can have, on page 92, if you would raise it up, well, right here, let's see number two first. First of all, speaking of these different words, Brother Donahue said, I have no problem with this. Notice, he says, I admit that they have similar meaning and therefore could be used interchangeably without violence. Understand what he is saying. He has made this argument to claim that parableon and katakalupto, two different words in the Greek for the words covering. He gave you a chart up here that had all the Greek words and all the Greek, I guess it came from interlinear, to show that they're two different words. But what did that mean? Because he stands up here and says that they are interchangeably without violence. Now, he also makes a reference to a chart in which he was quoting Galatians 6, verses 2 and 5. And I believe, if I remember correctly, this is a chart that deals with the idea of burden. But you know, that really proves nothing. Brother Donahue, listen to this. When you apply these same words to your verse dealing with burdens, in Galatians 6, verses 2 and 5, I agree, there's two different words. However, the two in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you say that they can be used interchangeably without violence. Will you say the same thing concerning Galatians 6, verses 2 and verse 5? Also, on page 92, paragraph 140 of our written discussion, Brother Donahue says, as he stated up here, concerning these two different Greek words, he says, I don't think that this proves that two different coverings are under consideration. Brother Donahue, why stand up here to prove the Scriptures teaches something, but then turn right around and say, I don't think it proves it? That's an important part for you to understand. You need to be proving that the Scriptures teaches something, not the fact that they are under consideration, that it proves nothing. Paragraph 93, 141, he makes the same kind of reference. He says the fact that two different basic Greek words are used in this passage does not conclusively prove that two different coverings are in view. Again, I stress to you, why state this argument? Why make the argument to begin with if you do not believe that they refer to it? Well, I want you to understand, first of all, that there is two different words. You can take this down, please. Let's see chart number 25, please. There are two different words in 1 Corinthians 11, and there's a reason for it. First of all, in the beginning portions of the chapter, verses 5, 6, and 13, we find it's the Greek term katakalupto. In verse 15, we find that it's parableon. But why? Well, the reason is in verse 15, you'll find a noun, and the previous verses, they'll either be an adjective or a verb. But let us find out if these verbs and nouns can be used together. Because there are verbs and nouns would mean nothing if they cannot be used together. Well, we find that Leon Crouch from Lubbock Christian College, a Greek scholar of his own right, he says, referring to these, they are certainly never used together in the New Testament. However, a study of the use of the words in those sources indicate, notice, that they could possibly be used together. Now, you understand this? In verse 15, you find the word parableon, a noun, and in the preceding verses, you have a verb. Can they be used together? This scholar says, certainly, they can be used together. Meyer says the same thing on page 256. He says, parableon, something thrown around one, a covering in general. Notice, parableon has here a special reference to the veil, kaluptra and kaluma, spoken of in the context. So therefore, he shows that parableon refers to the context, to the word covered in the context. And what did Brother Donahue say? He said that the word covering in verse 15 was long hair. That the word parableon referred to long hair. And here we find that this scholar simply says that this parableon has special reference to the veil spoken of in the context. And I agree with that solely. Again, let's see chart number 26. Because just because Brother Donahue would say that, and just because these Greek scholars would say that, that really proves not a whole lot by itself. So let's go to the Greek Old Testament, and I can show you where the Greek verbs and nouns are used together. In Genesis 38, verses 14 and 15, we find that it said that in verse 14, it says, Tamar covered her with a veil. Here we find the word covered is parable, as we can see, coming from parabolaion. However, in the very next verse, he says in verse 15, Judah thought she was a harlot because why? She had covered her face. There he did not use this word parable or parabolaion. He used the form of katakalupto. He links them both together, Pat, and this is the same thing that the Apostle Paul did in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's raise it again. In Psalms 104, verses 6 and 9, he says, in verse 6, thou coverest, notice, parabolaion is used, thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. Verse 9, he is talking about the exact same thing, and he says, thou hast set a bound that they might not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. But notice, he did not use this Greek term parabolaion. He used the word coming from katakalupto, showing again that they can be used together. Pat, this comes from the scholars, the Greek scholars today. Not only from the Greek scholars, we find from the Greek Old Testament, that is the Septuagint, that these terms, in fact, can be used together. So no wonder you would say, no wonder, Pat, that you would say that these two Greek words does not prove an artificial cover, for certainly it does not. And I thank you.